love and grace and mercy be upon each and every one that is here this day. Let us go to the Lord in prayer, and then we shall begin our study today. Father, we come to you once again. We come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through your Holy Spirit, asking you to open up our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, to your wondrous scriptures. That we behold new truths this day, not for the sake of beholding, but the sake of applying them in our lives, to bring you praise, glory, thanksgiving, and honor. That we may teach others your truths, that they may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Holy Savior. Lead us deeper into truth. Lead us farther away from sin. May we be holy bodies for thy holy temple, your Holy Spirit. Lord, give us the words that when we pray, that we pray your way and not traditional way and not our own way, but that we listen attentively to the voice of your Holy Spirit, for he knows what we're trying to say and he can bring the words to you that we have difficulty with. We pray, Father, for our missing members, and we pray for our family members that are sick and that are not saved. We seriously pray for their salvation, for each and every one, that they would be saved this day, truly converted by your Holy Spirit. For many of us have families scattered throughout this country, and we want them saved. And there is so much falsity, untruths, a gospel that is false, that your word speaks about, that is being preached and is being embraced by many who are being deceived by false teachers, false preachers, that they need to be woken up to the error of their ways and its truth of where they stand before thee, because they'll either be on the right side or they'll be on the left side. And when death comes, it is too late. May they know today, and may they know it forever. We ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus, this, and that you'd bless this lesson to our understanding, because we need to understand what is going to be spoken of today, so that we do not be led astray. We thank you in Christ's holy name. Amen. One of the greatest maladies in Christianity of today is found in the failure to rightly study and to rightly divide Holy Scripture to one's own understanding. When one fails to understand Scripture, one will also fail to apply Scripture in a right and a proper manner. And in so doing, one does not and will not grow spiritually, but one will regress and go back further into the life that one was once in before one came to the truth. So when studying the words of Holy Scripture, their meanings are to be taken most seriously. Why? Because in them you will find life and you'll also find death. Why so? Again, so that one yourself would not be led astray and thereby leading others astray also when they ask of you, what do the Scriptures mean? What do you believe? How do you apply them? How do you live according to them? They are to be taken very seriously. So then now, take the word darkness, which we're going to find in our lesson, darkness. Darkness, for it does not have the same meaning throughout Scripture. Many times we'll have one word. It'll have a dozen different meanings and a dozen different senses and tenses. Instant number one, Genesis chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And the Word of God says this, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And here the meaning of the word darkness is simply this, night, nighttime, nightfall. There's no sin here. There's no evil in these passages. It's just simply light, daytime, dark, nighttime. We find other passages as correspondent that you can look on your own in John 6:17 and John chapter 20, verse 1, where Mary Magdalene came on the first day of the week, early in the morning, while it was still dark, nightfall. The second instance, we find in Romans chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. Paul speaking, He says, behold, you are called a Jew, and you rest in the law, and you make your boast of God, and knowest his will, and you approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and you are confident that you yourself are a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge, and of the truth of the law. Now the meaning here is about intellectual darkness. Many an intellectual person lives in darkness. Why? Because Paul also says in 2 Timothy 3:7 about this, that they are ever learning and never able to come to the truth. Ever learning, meaning always acquiring knowledge to be wise, to be gifted, but never coming to the truth of Scripture, to the truth of Jesus Christ. Intellectual darkness. Sin. In this passage, it speaks of sin. So you may know much of Scripture, but never truly come to Jesus Christ. And all that you have learned was all in sin, because your heart was wrong. Instance number 3, John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We find it also in John 12, 35 and 46. But here this passage speaks of spiritual and moral darkness, which visualizes sin as a condition of moral or spiritual depravity. See, many don't consider sin in the form of depravity. They don't consider immorality to be depravity or sin. But it is. Because God has stated the laws and the commandments. See, in almost all cases, darkness that we find in Scripture, in most cases, is used in a bad and negative sense. It's not good. It is evil. Therefore, then, we'll now turn to our Scripture text of today in John chapter 1, verse 5. And Pastor Mike read over it earlier today. And John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, verse 5 says this, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Very interesting. And the light shineth in darkness. Shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. Well, here in this passage, the meaning of darkness is both spiritual and moral depravity, wickedness, sinfulness. So now then, why is it that darkness does not comprehend the light of truth? Why sinners do not comprehend the light of truth? Well, we find it in John chapter 3, verse 19. You can go there, and we'll find why. That darkness cannot comprehend the light. For the word says this, in John 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, Jesus Christ and his truth. And men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. See, here the darkness is sin, wickedness, sinning. And they love sinning more than truth. They loved evil more than they loved holiness. Simply because their deeds were evil. They loved the things of the world. John chapter 20 says this, for everyone that does evil hates the light, and neither comes to the light. Why? Lest his behavior, his deeds, be reproved. See, darkness hates light. Light hates darkness. They are contrary one to the other. Polar opposites. Jesus says, if you love the world, if you love the world and the things of the world, the love of my Father is not in you. Therefore, if the love of the Father is not in you and you love the things of the world, it shows that you hate the Father and the things of the Father. But many don't understand this. Why? Because they don't search and read and study the Scriptures and ask the Holy Spirit for understanding. But we are called to do so. So we don't have much time on this earth. And Jesus says, there are many who walked on that broad road as in intellectual darkness, thinking that they have salvation, thinking that they're walking in the light when they're walking in the darkness, and they're going to be cast into hell. But the ones who are walking on that straight and narrow road understand Scripture. They are learning Scripture to apply it because they believe the Scriptures. Even if they don't understand it at first, they will turn to the Scriptures and turn to the Holy Spirit and ask for that understanding, that they may apply the Word of God in their lives in the right and proper manner. So now then, you may be wondering, what is the point in all of this? Well, the point is this, that both spiritual and moral darkness has crept into many a local congregation, into many churches, not only in America, but in the world over. And as such, it begins in the individual first, in the individual, because the individual comes into a place of worship. And then another one comes into a place of worship, and they come in groups into the place of worship. And then it spreads. Then that darkness spreads inside the body of that church, and it infects that body with lies, false truths, a false gospel, and it poisons the body that is assembled together with their darkness, with their wickedness. But many in the body don't recognize it at first. Poisons and infects. Like Galatians 5:9 says that sin is like leaven, and a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little sin, unchecked in the body, in the church, when the church assembles, unchecked, it will grow and will fester like a cancer, not treated. Like a cold sore on the mouth, or an open cut, leave it untreated, it's going to fester. When you see sin, an open sin, by anyone who comes into the church, you have to speak to them in private, first of all, and talk to them. Because many are ignorant, but then there are those that are not ignorant, because they have an agenda. See, when the word says that they crept in, they crept in because they were ordained to this condemnation in Jude in time past. But we are to have eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak when this happens. So when a little leaven leavens the whole lump, in other words, it is plain, the meaning is that spiritual and physical immorality will pollute that church, will pollute that body, and it will destroy that body, that local church, just as it destroys the individual. And we just read in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17 how sin, when it defiles the body, the individual body, that same sin defiles the body collective when it gathers. It runs unchecked unless it's checked by the pastors and others. First of all, it's not seen. Then it is seen. And when it is seen and then it's not confronted, then you become a partaker of that person's sins and defilement. Just as in the Old Testament, if you saw a thief stealing and you didn't confront that thief, then you became a partaker of his theft. So if you see someone going to an abortion mill and you don't stop and have a talk with them, you say absolutely nothing, and they go in and have an abortion, well, what did you just do? You became an aider and abettor, and you became a partner of their murderous act. Don't believe me? Read the Scriptures. God makes it very, very clear how we can be aiders and abettors, partaker of other people's sins, and how those sins infect the church body and infect the life of a family, each individual family, whether they be here or at home. Sin infects the world. But the world doesn't care because it likes to live in darkness. It hates Christ and His truth. Now keep in mind, and don't take sin lightly, for many who come to the church do take sin lightly. Why? Because sin is the most contagious of all diseases. It is a disease that has been inherited from Adam when he first sinned. And this disease always brings about, first of all, one's physical death, and two, then one's spiritual death. The physical death of the church gathered, the spiritual death of the church that is gathered. For many are led astray. So if you're led astray, where are you led to? You've been taken away from truth and life, eternal here. And now you're led over here to that which is false and evil and sinful, to hell itself, eternal death. So you have to be careful who you follow after. But many are not. Now then, there may be some who dispute this, who will say that they are very good Christians. And I've heard this over and over again throughout my lifetime, that they are very busy in their local church, their local churches, that they believe in Jesus, and therefore they are not immoral or full of spiritual wickedness. Yet they don't understand that their heart is black with sin. They fail to understand what the psalmist says in Psalm 51:5. When the psalmist says this, "Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Right from conception, we're sinners. Sin, the heart, and it is black with sin, because sin is black. It reveals wickedness. And if that isn't enough, then Jeremiah 17:9-10 says this about that heart. It says that your heart is deceitful above all things. Above all things it is deceitful and desperately wicked. Not wicked, desperately. It cannot help. It has to do and pursue and practice wickedness. It's out of control. It cannot help itself. It's not happy unless it does so. Who can know it? Who can know that desperate, wicked heart? You don't know it. You don't know it fully. You do not know the depravity of your own heart. And your heart is depraved. And people get angry when you say that you've got a depraved heart. Only God knows it. For he says, "I, the Lord, search the heart, your heart, my heart. I try the reins, the motives, the intentions, the direction where you want to go and how you want to go. Even to give to everyone according to their ways and according to their fruit, according to the produce, the production of what they are doing and how they are doing it. What goes around comes around. What goes around the one way, it comes back the same way to you. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that same shall he reap." So that the way that you commit sin and evil to another person, it's going to come back to you down the road when you least expect it. And the final outcome of it will be you'll be paid back on judgment day. And yet, many will argue and say that this cannot be true. But then again, they do not read and study the scriptures. They do not understand the word of God. They have no desire to understand the word of God. Their life, their Christian profession is based primarily on opinion and hearsay, not on the word. It is written in Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, that the light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness, sin, wickedness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, sin, and wickedness, how great is that darkness, wickedness? How great is that sin? How deep does it go into your lifestyle? How does it permeate your family, your associates, who you pal around with? How deep does it go into the local church where you attend? Whether it be here or another church. Do you have eyes to see when you go to another church? Can you recognize darkness, spiritual darkness in another church? It's there. Are you saying that I'm living in darkness? I'm saying what the scriptures say, that you are in darkness when you willfully refuse to examine yourself, to see and to know for an absolute certainty, if you're walking in the light, as Christ Jesus is in the light. You say that you're saved. Then why is it that you don't walk in the light of Christ? He is our light. We are the reflection of his light on this earth. Then why is it that you are not? Why is it that you are walking in darkness? You see, many who refuse to examine themselves according to the truth of Holy Scripture are those who love their secret sins, and they don't want them to be exposed and made known. You see, when people come to Jesus Christ, every sinner comes with the bags, their baggage, and they come with their sins. And in those suitcases, you'll always find a little small valise has their most cherished sins that they're not willing to give up. But God will reveal them. Because the Word of God says in Luke 8:17, for nothing is secret, no such thing as a secret sin, that shall not be revealed. God will make it known. Neither anything that be hid. You cannot hide your sins that shall not be known and come abroad. Come abroad. Be made known openly to all. In the church, in the public. There have been pastors, well-known evangelists that we have known and seen over the years on TV break down and confess their immorality. And never could hold the pulpit like they did once before. Before all. And you talk to them, they never knew and they never planned to announce, to confess their sin. The Spirit hit them and they started to confess. Like a spring, artesian well, flowing, unstoppable water. So we don't know when God's going to open up our mouths and reveal secret sins that we're still cherishing. And that is not something that we want. Kill those secret sins. Kill the desire for them. Therefore, then, why is it that the local churches do not comprehend the darkness that is rampant in their assemblies? And the word comprehend means to grasp mentally, first of all. To grasp it here in the mind and then take it into the heart, to the soul, to your inner being, that you may do what that word is saying to you to do. But when the word says comprehend it not, they cannot grasp it. They refuse to grasp it mentally and they refuse to take it to the heart. They become willfully ignorant of the Word of God. And the word willfully ignorant translates, they become dumb on purpose because they love their sins. It is rampant. Or do they comprehend and refuse to do anything about it? About the immorality that is prevalent and quite open within their congregation? Many pastors know what is going on. They won't say a word. To the individual, individuals at all will say nothing. It's as if nothing is happening. I know of churches where the pastors have seduced other pastors' wives, caused divorces and married them, not once but twice, several times, where fornication and adultery is rampant, that much of their congregation are having babies out of wedlock, fornication. That's immorality. That is also spiritual wickedness. And nothing is being done about it. And do you think God is blessing those churches? Many think God is, because they are very big and prosperous churches. But understand this, that God can increase a church simply for this reason, to bring his wrath upon that church and those members on the day of judgment. Read Romans chapter 2. How God will bless and show his goodness and kindness to these types of sinners, all the while building up his wrath upon them, and then it's going to explode when they least expect it, and it'll be too late. Does your church recognize the darkness that is pervading its midst? Does your church recognize the darkness and the cause of it? Is it recognizable? Much of it is, if you're paying attention. But see, many don't pay attention when they come to the church because they treat the church as a social organism, which it is not. It's a religious, holy, spiritual body. It's a living organism in truth, in righteousness, in holiness. And its fellowship is not with a social public body, but its fellowship is with the true believers, the saints of Jesus Christ, and with his Holy Spirit as they meet together as one body, united in spirit and in truth. Now take, for instance, the darkness of the tongue that many don't want to talk about. The evilness, the sinfulness, the wickedness, because darkness here speaks of what I just said. In James chapter 3, verse 6 says that the tongue is a fire, a world of what? Iniquity, lawlessness, sin, unruliness, world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, the body of Christ here in the church. Not this one only, but I'm talking to all the churches. Why? That it defiles the whole body. It will infect, as I said earlier, everybody in that congregation. In some manner, shape, and form, it's going to infect, it's going to pollute, it's going to poison, and eventually it's going to destroy when it is not left unchecked. And then it goes on. It defiles the whole body, and it sets on fire the course of nature. Nature, your fallen nature. Sin. We have a fallen nature, which is sin. And it is set on the fire of hell. It means you're heading toward hell and everlasting destruction. So without being on guard about our words, our tongues, and the tongue of the church, it can become an instrument of darkness. How? In Luke 6:45, Jesus says this, that a good man or good woman, a good person out of the good treasure of their heart, brings forth that which is good. And an evil person out of the evil treasure of their heart brings forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Have you ever considered and thought about what you are speaking in the church, outside the church, in public, in secret, home alone, with your wife, your brothers and sisters, on the job? What are you talking about? What's coming out of your mouth? Are you talking like them? You tell one dirty joke after another. Do you laugh at their dirty jokes? Do you pass around porno magazines? Do you swear and take Christ's name in vain just like your pals on the job? Just to fit in. Because you're ashamed to speak up for Christ and stand for the truth. Your words, our words. This implies everybody. Romans chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Speaking about the darkness of the tongue. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. They lied, full of guile, deception. The poison of asps, vipers, snakes, is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Listen to some of the things that are being said when you hang around with Christians, when you go into any church. I visit a lot of churches when I'm traveling. The stuff that I hear, the stuff that I see. And so I speak about spiritual darkness in the churches. I see it. And I'm disgusted. And I'm ashamed. I get angry. Not that I'm perfect, but I examine myself. But I see it. And I see those pastors, those elders, and they act unconcerned because it's left unchecked. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 27 to 28, speaking about the darkness of the tongue again. An ungodly man, who is a wicked man, digs up evil. He looks up to stir up evil. What? He's looking for anything that he can use for gossip and slander. And he makes it up if he can't find it. And in his lips, there's a burning fire, a burning fire. He just has to get it out. A froward man sees strife, and a whisperer separates chief friends. A whisperer, one who gossips in secret, thinking he's in secret. But the one he gossips to is also a gossiper who will gossip to another one. See, because a true friend never speaks evil about his friend, because a true friend loves his friend at all times and treats him as his own brother. So these people who have an unruly tongue, it separates chief friends. It separates the body of Christ. It causes a division in the church. It causes dissension. It causes a breakdown where the churches fall apart and then they close. Psalms chapter 50, verses 19 and 20. Thou gavest your mouth to evil, and thy tongue frames again deceit, fraud, deception, lies, flattery. You sit and you speak against your brother. Your brother in Christ you speak against. You slander your own mother's son, who is your blood brother. He might be a stepbrother, but he's still your mother's son. He's still a brother to you. And you slander him. You lie about him, because slander is full of lies, full of deception. It's full of evil. You call him all kinds of names. You say all kinds of things that are not true about him. You ruin his character. You demean his character. You destroy his life. Darkness. The darkness of one's tongue. The wickedness of one's tongue. The sin that flows from the mouth. The evil which proceeds from the heart. Is total wickedness. If you don't believe that, Matthew 15, verse 19 says this. Chapter 15, verse 19. For out of the heart, out of one's heart, proceeds what? Evil thoughts. Murders. Adulteries. Fornications. Thefts. False witnesses. Blasphemies. There's much more. Every word that was said here, not only evil, but is sinful. Sinfully evil and evilly sinful. It is wicked. Because it destroys lives. It destroys churches. And it keeps people from walking in the truth. Because much of the lies are also said in flattery, where they are deceptive. Now you take the biggest lie that was spoken that started this whole ball of sin rolling. It was a whopper. Like Burger King is home of the Whopper. Well, it happened in the Garden of Eden. Satan came along. And he hit Eve with a Whopper. Whopper was just one burger. He says, yes, did God say this? Intimating that God is a liar. Then he says, now comes the double decker, the big Whopper. You can be like gods. Implying that there's more gods than just God. And then he poured one more on her and gave her a triple decker, a huge whopper. And then she looked at the tree. And she seen all these things through her imagination that he was playing with her mind to make her wise. Good to look at. And what did she do? She partook of it. And then she found out she wasn't so wise, that that big whopper was a piece of rotten meat. Wasn't good to the soul. And she died along with her husband. Sin is death. Again, what we've just read, this not only speaks of an individual, but it speaks of the church body also as a whole. Because as we read earlier, the tongue sets its members and it defiles the body, the whole body, meaning the congregations that are assembled wherever they may be. Many who profess Jesus Christ forget, and the church forgets, and in many instances, they act unconcerned that the tongue reveals the conduct, whether it be good or bad, within the individual, within the church body. They get so blinded to the sin, they don't recognize it at first. They're not concerned. They're not ashamed anymore. They're open about it. How? Well, look what's going on. You got homosexuals preaching the gospel, contrary to the word of God. You have lesbians preaching the gospel. They're ministers against the word of God. You have transgender people preaching, ministers, ordained in many different denominations. In many different denominations. The lying tongue, the evil mouth, the slanders that we just talked about, finding fault with one another, deliberately castigating your brother and your sister, your own husband, your own wife, browbeating your children, speaking evilly of them, speaking evilly of your church, your pastors, an evil tongue. Is that good conduct? Is that the conduct of a true child of Christ, one who is supposed to be walking in light? Does that reveal holiness and righteousness? Coming to church when they feel like it? Coming to church on Communion Sunday. Staying away other days of the week. They have no idea what is happening and about to happen. You see, darkness. This darkness as we speak about does not comprehend the light, the truth of Christ. Therefore, darkness does not and will not obey the light of truth. It hates truth. Because truth exposes their evilness. And they try to hide in darkness with others who are like them. Birds of a feather flock together. And it reveals that there is no fellowship in these people. There is no fellowship and no communion between darkness and light. There is no communion between holiness and evil. There is no communion, no fellowship between the true believer and the lawless professor who lives in sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 says this, "And be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness?" There is no communion between light and darkness. There is no fellowship. We are polar opposites, contrary one to the other. But many come here when they sat at the table of devils, and then they come here to sit at the table of Christ and his saints. They've been walking in darkness, living in darkness, professing Christ falsely, and yet come and want to partake of communion. You see, the overseers of the Church of Jesus Christ and the members also fail. They go hand in hand. It's not all the fault of the pastors, but it's the body. Also fail to heed this warning and this command, that knowing full well that many on Communion Sunday are allowed to partake of Christ's sacraments, who live openly in darkness, who live openly in sin and flaunt their wicked behavior, unconcerned and uncaring about their behavior and the damage that they are doing to the Church of Jesus Christ and how they mar his holy and righteous sacrificial name. And thereby they take the sacraments in vain, and they build up the wrath of God upon themselves all the while they are doing so. Because the warning is given when we partake of communion to examine oneself. And that examination is to see if you're walking in darkness or if you're walking in light. Not sometime. Not occasionally. Not on certain holidays. But this is a lifetime behavior. You see, when we speak of repentance, and repentance is a gift from the Holy Spirit, in repentance many forget, and many pastors don't speak out. Pastor Mike did a few weeks ago. The key word in repentance is forsake those sins. That means put them to death forever. That you don't repeat them. Like a pendulum. Swings one way, swings back the other way. Or like a yo-yo. Today I confess, I say I repent. Tomorrow I do it again. Goes back and forth. That's not repentance, and that's not forsaking sin. Now you may be wondering what sin is being flaunted openly. Well, we can't get into all the sins that are flaunted openly, but the sin I mentioned one earlier, the sin of sexual immorality, beginning with fornication and adultery. It is rampant in the churches here in America today. And I say rampant because I've seen it in many a church, big and small. The bigger, you see it more because there's more people. Rampant. Fornication and adultery. Two of the biggest sins in the church body. Pregnancies out of wedlock. Divorces left and right. The divorce rate among Christians is now higher than it is amongst unbelievers, of the latest poll. That's a good one, huh? Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Perversions. Did you know that when you live contrary to the Word of God, when you walk contrary to light, that you are perverting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your words, your behavior, your actions are perverting the gospel of truth because you are contrary to that gospel. Living out of wedlock. As long as this continues in the churches unabated and uncondemned, there will be no blessings upon the individual. No true blessings coming forth, but curses and wrath from God and damnation to follow. But now as we close, and I close with this passage, take this to heart. 1 Corinthians 15:34, where Paul says to the Holy Spirit that we are to awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. You have no knowledge of God. True saving knowledge is because you don't study the Word of God and you don't ask for that understanding. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Keep on overcoming. Fight the good fight of faith. You can overcome sin through the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't give up. Winners don't quit, and quitters never win. Let us pray. Father, may we fight the good fight of faith. May we be not pretenders to the throne of grace, but true responders and members of the throne of grace. May we apply diligently in our lives what we've been hearing today, and there's much more coming in the weeks ahead. For you love truth and you always speak truth to us. And we have to open our hearts to you. And we have to speak your truth to those that we love. We have to seek, just as Jesus did, to go out and to seek those that are lost, that they would be saved by your gospel truths. That we be not just mere talkers, but doers of your holy and precious words. May your light, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, shine in us daily, every moment of our lives, that the world, our family, our church will see that light and be drawn to that light, and that they would flee from the darkness and walk in that true light. This I ask and look forward to in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.